Welcome to a segment of Mike Novak at Large. On this day, November 20th, a snowstorm is headed to Chicago. So you know who I need to speak to, meteorologist Rick DiMaio. You know, I'm not going to call you an icon, Rick, okay?
No, I'm not an icon.
No, but you are a fixture. How's that?
All right.
not an icon, but a fixture in Chicago weather. And as we are recording this, the first snowflakes of the year are headed to Chicago, and it's a little late for that, as we usually go. Right, Rick?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. Like, here I am 2 weeks away from my 30th anniversary of arriving in Chicago back on November 30th, 1985, and when I started working for United Airlines. So time goes by quickly, and I recall, I believe it was late 1989 in the middle of November that we got clobbered with a pretty decent snowfall just before Thanksgiving. My dates may be wrong. It may be a year later, but that's the last time that Chicago ever got a snowstorm of this caliber prior to Thanksgiving. Climatologically speaking, we typically see the first flakes of snow observed at O'Hare, you know, like a mixture of rain or snow right around the 1st of November. And sometimes it may take until about the first week of December for the first inch of snow to fall. So we're getting a lot of snow a little bit late, and considering that the first 18 days of the month turned out to be the warmest period from the start of November in 40 years, it's kind of ironic that it's all happening right around now. So a lot of interesting weather has transpired over the last since the last time we spoke.
It leads me in a number of directions. First of all, I have to admit, I turned on the Weather Channel today to peek at the radar, which, you know, I do on my computer as well. But I thought, okay, let's see what they're saying about this. And I forgot that they name storms.
And, you know, I don't even, what are they naming this one?
It starts with a B. I think it's Bertha or something. Maybe that's not it. Big Bertha? I don't know. No, I don't know if it, I forget it. I know it starts with a B, so it must be the second storm. And I just thought,
you know what? Being that the first storm was Ajax, they should have called this Borax, don't you think?
Give that a ding there.
Isn't that how the old commercial goes with bleach, borax, and brightener?
I like love that? It. Yes, and then the third one could have been chlorine,
or just Clorox.
Or right? Clorox. We go to Clorox.
Then we have the Ajax, Borax, Clorox. You know, going.
I love it, and then I'm sure we could continue right down the alphabet with stuff.
Yeah. This will be the Weather Channel too. I'm sure we'll have at least a dozen listeners on the dial.
And then when we got to F, it would be flummox. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, there's a lot of different words you can begin with the letter F, right? but Mike, I think since last time we talked, we had 4 days in a row of 70 degrees. That was 2 weeks ago. And that was the second latest we've ever, or the second time ever we've had 4 days in a row above 70 in November. And then this week alone, we had 2 days above 60, including last week. We had a couple of severe weather watches that went out, even a couple of warnings that were basically right up to, you know, basically to the western sections of the Chicagoland area. And then within, you know, 72 hours, we're talking about, you know, not a 1 to 2 or 3 to 4 inch snow event. This is going to be a bona fide, you know, 6 to 8 inch storm, literally affecting 90% of the third largest city in the country. And it's this is no small potatoes. This is going to be one of the biggest snows we've ever seen in the month of November in the history of Chicago, I think dating back right now, probably to 1960 is the way it goes.
But like a lot of these storms, it depends where you are in the Chicago metropolitan area. From what I understand, and I've been looking at, I saw Mr. Skilling do his thing on Channel 9, and he says north and west is where most of the snow will be. South and east, not so much.
Right. Yeah. This is going to be one of these things where you might see 2 or 3 inches, maybe 4 inches, northwest Indiana, and you know, maybe 8 to 10, you know, northwest sections of the Chicagoland area. But I think what's more interesting is that Lake Michigan right now, the water temperature is 50 degrees. You remember, we have not had many cold days in the month of October and November. So when you have temperatures that warm, the lake doesn't cool off. So I've seen these events before, Mike. I remember I was leaving downtown when I was working on TV. This was about 15 years ago, and it was actually early December, and the lake water temperature was about 46, 47 degrees, and the wind was blowing off the lake. The snow was falling, but that wind coming off the lake actually kept the air temperature right around 35 to 36 degrees. It was all rain from about, say, Wrigley Field northward up to about Evanston, right along Sheridan Road. And when you went westward about maybe a mile is when it became about maybe an inch of slush, about 2 miles, about 2 inches, about 3 miles, about 3 inches. It seemed every mile that you went further west, the lake influence basically went away, and we ended up with almost no snow along the lakefront, while there were some places, you know, west basically of Interstate 294, with almost a half a foot. So this is what happens when you have, you know, either a huge urban heat island like we have here in Chicago, or a warm body of water. It definitely changes things dramatically, and it's certainly going to do that with this event.
And that is really actually very interesting, because folks who don't live along one of the Great Lakes won't see this kind of change as you travel just a few miles in one direction or another. However, mountains can do the same thing, right? They can mitigate that kind of weather as well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. In fact, the blizzard that just went through Colorado on Tuesday and Wednesday, you had some places in the Denver area that had almost less than 3 to 4 inches of snow as you went north. But as you went south, right up against what's called the Palmer Ridge or the Palmer Divide, there was anywhere between 12 and 16 inches of snow. And then when you went on the other side of the Palmer Divide, where you had more of a downslope effect into the Pueblo area, you had no snow. You still had, you know, strong gusty winds and some snow blowing, but the accumulations vary tremendously with that event. I don't think we'll see accumulations vary as much with this event. In other words, you can still get 3 or 4 inches of snow, you know, along the lakefront, but this time of the year, the difference between 4 inches and 8 inches really isn't that much. I think everybody's going to be impacted by this to some degree. I think the only thing that makes it interesting is the fact that it's the first of the year, and there's a lot of people going, where's my scraper? Where's my shovel? Where's salt and all those other things?
I'm really proud of myself, actually, because I went out yesterday and looked around for some of that stuff, and I actually started cleaning off some of the walkways, you know, in the backyard where you have junk sometimes on your sidewalk, and then when it snows, it gets all the snow comes. You got to move it out of the way just so you can shovel. I did that.
Right.
I found my shovel. I'm ready to go. I'm ready, which means there won't be any snow here. That's what that means.
No. This is a no brainer. This is definitely going to happen. This is not one of those events that, we're going to escape this. This is about a 99.999% chance. In fact, I was at the College of DuPage on Wednesday night. The monthly meeting for the local chapter of the American Meteorological Society has now moved to the COD, the College of DuPage campus. And I was chosen to give the briefing. And I put together about, 15 or 18 slides talking about what the weather was going to be, you know, because we had a speaker that had to go on at 7:15. So after the business and the minutes, I had about 8 or 9 minutes, which I can pull that off. But I didn't really have a lot of time to look at it, being that one of my classes ended at 4 o'clock. So I put some stuff together, and I basically said, we're going to get, 2 to 3 inches along the lakefront where the lake's going to warm us up, and about 6 to 10 inches inland. And everybody had their jaws kind of dropping, going, really going to get that much? And it was just based on the fact that I've seen these cases before. And someone said, well, what about the warm ground? You know, we haven't had a real freeze yet. We haven't had a hard frost or a frost or a hard freeze yet. Don't you think that's going to really keep things from accumulating much? I go, you know what? Not really. Once you start to accumulate about a half inch of snow, and then it begins to snow really hard, it doesn't matter. You can accumulate pretty fast. The only thing that a warm ground does this time of the year, it allows the snow to melt a little bit faster. So if this would occur in like late December or January, the snow would probably be on the ground for, you know, maybe a week to 10 days. But I got a feeling with the amount of warmth that we're going to get next week with temperatures going back up into the low to middle 40s by Tuesday and Wednesday, before we hit the day, next week, Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, it's going to look exactly as it looks right now, a gray day with no snow on the ground. There may be a few piles left over, but by and large, I think most of the snow is going to be gone around here by next Tuesday afternoon and into Wednesday.
That's meteorologist Rick DeMaio speaking from experience. Okay, now, before I let you go, what I want to talk about, you sent me some stuff, and the sentence that caught my eye here was from NOAA, and somebody writes from the NOAA National Centers for Environmental Information, thus far, the 2015-2016 El Niño is behaving much as you would expect a strong event to behave in terms of U.S. Mm-hmm. temperature effects, with a spoonful of long-term warming and a few sprigs of natural variability mixed in. That sounds just like you, Rick.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because the storm that came through the Midwest last week was one that was basically induced by a very strong El Nino jet. We had subtropical moisture that blew all the way from a couple of ex-hurricanes in the eastern Pacific. You can see the plume of moisture moved almost 4,000 miles northward. We had some decent rain. We had some decent wind. The difference with this one that just occurred was the fact that we had more of a polar influence that kind of dipped southward. So what eventually occurred, Mike, is we had an ex-typhoon literally jet itself across the North Pacific, impacted the Seattle, Washington area on Tuesday with 50-mile-per-hour winds and 4 to 5-inch rains. And when that piece of energy actually dipped southward, that formed a secondary area of low pressure over southern sections of Ontario, deep into 975 millibars, which is about 40 millibars lower than standard pressure. And that pulled a tremendous amount of cold, dry, continental polar air southward into the Midwest yesterday. So we went from literally maritime tropical air on Thursday into maritime polar air on Wednesday, or I should say on Tuesday, into maritime polar air on Wednesday, into continental polar air on Thursday. So we really just set the stage for this next system that's coming through, which is the one that's coming through late tonight and into tomorrow, by linking up this polar jet stream with this subtropical jet stream. So oftentimes, I try to mention to people that the subtropical jet that's influenced by very, very strong El Nino conditions can do one of two things. It can keep the storm track, which usually remains very active, down to the south of you. But if you got any little bit of cold air that nudges southward, and you get one of these rogue waves of low pressure to move northward, you easily have yourself a 6 to 10-inch snowstorm. So El Nino events are typically characterized by infrequent bouts of heavy snow, but frequent bouts of mild Pacific air. And I think that's what we've had so far this November, and most likely we'll have probably through December into January. There's a really good chance, Mike, that this could be our biggest snow for the next 3 to 4 weeks, easily.
Wow. And you sent me the maps, and looking at the temperature anomalies accumulated from strong El Niños from 1895 through 2015, and it shows December is actually the warmest month, has the strongest, variability in temperature. And it covers like 2/3 of the eastern United States.
And typically, Mike, if I may interject here, those warm anomalies for December are usually due to the fact that the overnight lows are very mild. So you may have readings in the middle to latter half of December, which typically should be about 15 to 18 degrees for Chicago. Those overnight lows may only bottom out to about, say, 32, 33, or 34 degrees with overcast skies. And then your afternoon high might be 38 or 39 with overcast skies. So the day you may have walked outside and, well, wow, it's kind of cloudy out. It's a little bit on the damp and nasty side. But what's not happening is we're not getting the extreme Arctic cold. And that's one of the things from strong El Niños is you really don't have large plumes of Arctic cold, you know, basically moving southward from north central Canada. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole work, this storm works out this weekend, but it's definitely one to take note of.
And from what you say, it sounds like we might get this storm this weekend and then maybe not even get a white Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go that far. That's still a long ways away. I'm talking about big storms, okay?
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so one inch on the 23rd, you know, totally destroys that thinking. But in any event, it does look like that this could be the biggest storm on the horizon for probably the next 10 days. And, you know, essentially it's a wake-up call for people to realize that, you know, you hit the middle of November around here, and you got to be prepared for just about anything. And after the kind of last 2 weeks that we've had, it's certainly coming to that, basically to that result. 60-degree weather a couple of days, 70 a few weeks ago, and now we're looking at shoveling out 6 inches of snow during the day tomorrow.
Well, I know you're off to see your friend Mike Seidel from the Weather Channel. Just drop a quick note to him and say, about naming those storms.
He usually shies away during those things. He has nothing to do with it.
I know he does. It's really nothing he can do about it. I'm sure there's a much higher authority at the Weather Channel than Mike Seidel.
A much higher authority. I think he's called Zeus.
That's the name.
All these Greek names.
And if we ever get to 26 storms, then we'll have a Zeus, right?
Yeah, we probably will. You know, it's real quick, Mike, before we go. They actually missed out on naming the first one, which was the first blizzard that hit Denver in the Colorado area about 2 weeks ago. They had a couple of guys in the studio during their Weather Geek session, and all of a sudden they said, "Don't you think we should have named the storm?" And everybody went, "Yeah, I think so." But that's what happens when you get conditions in the western, you know, the western U.S. and the Rocky Mountains. Those people really don't care about the names. It's more of an East Coast and Midwest thing. So the sooner they make that whole thing go away, the better. But I think it's here to stay.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Rick DeMaio, meteorologist. What did we say? Not an icon, but a fixture.
Yeah,
Chicago.
You call me a fixture.
You know, where you...
No, it's fine. I like it. I'll take it.
Whatever you can get, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.